You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, it's exactly now 12 minutes after 9 South African time. It's a beautiful night. It's a beautiful evening. And of course, we're going to be crossing over to our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Salim Karim Damat Barakatuh. I have to say this. I have to say this to my beloved senior Ustad. Oh, the children, they finished me today, Ustad. Our shining stars, they actually finished me. You know, one person, our little Hannah, was saying, Malana, do you eat mandu? I don't even know what's mandu. Mandu or mandub or whatever. I was pronouncing it wrong. And then somebody says, Malana, do you eat what? Pur or per or whatever. Oh, they finished me. Ustad, it's a beautiful night. Welcome to the discussion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Murana, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban to you and our esteemed listeners. Yes, mashallah, this is the beauty of children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever is blessed with children, do three things. Number one, keep a good name for your child. Number two, give them the best Islamic education. And number three, when they reach a marriageable age, get them married. One directive, addibu awladakum. Discipline your children and teach them three things. Hubba nabiyyikum. Teach them to love Nabi Kareem. Sallallahu alayhi salatu wassalam. Teach them to love the Ahli Bayt and the family of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and teach them tilawatul Quran. So yes, Murana, I know they always put us in a spot. Today I think they gave you a lot of curved balls, you know, they were spinning googly or something like that. Some tongue twisters. It's okay. Inshallah. Sometime it's nice that they laugh at us too. It's no problem. Dear children, Mulana, Allah Ta'ala make all of our kids pious, nek.
Ameen.
And this is how we should be with children. Just love them unconditionally for the pleasure of Allah. You know, so many children are crying out for love, Mulana. You know, when you hear their stories that from childhood, nobody loved them, nor did the father, nor did the mother, the other siblings. They were like outcasts. When Allah has entrusted us with this amanat of children, Rana, just give them unconditional love.
Subhanallah.
So may Allah Ta'ala accept the efforts of those masum children.
Ameen.
They are doing excellent, Rana. As much as you are listening to them and conducting the program, I do listen sometime, but most of the time I research. See, Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you, and inshallah, yes, they are shining stars, Murana, a very nice title that you have given to them. And it also shows the enthusiasm of the parents, Murana. We have to give Mubarakbad to the parents also. We need to thank Allah Ta'ala and make dua for those parents who are showing such great interest in the deen and Islam and tarbiyat of their children. Because in the end of the day, perpetual sadaqah is what? Ilmun yuntafa'u bih. That Allah Ta'ala gives you tawfiq, that you impart knowledge, you educate the ummah. So whatever education you have imparted, inshallah, Allah will reward you perpetually. Whoever practices on the knowledge that you have imparted to them, they share it with somebody else, and the second person shares it with the third person, and it goes down and down. Till the last person who practices upon it, Allah will reward you because you was the initiator. So, ilmun yuntafa'u bi. Number two, sadaqatun jariya. That charity that is perpetual, where the makhluk of Allah, Muslims, non-Muslims, animals, benefit. Somebody built a hospital, somebody dug a well, or provided water, provided shelter, a musafir khana, whatever it is, and the masses are benefiting from it. It's sadaqatun jariya. You are just being credited every day for those who utilize it. And the third one is waladun salihun yad'ula. You leave behind children who make dua-e maghfirat for you. So yes, Malina, mashallah, Allah Ta'ala accept your efforts and the children and inshallah the parents for doing a fantastic piece of tarbiyat and nurturing of their children.
Ameen, 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 so ameen. Ustada, well, tonight we have decided that inshallah we will be touching on how to fulfill each other's rights in Islam. And of course, we will be touching as well a bit about Hajj, because Hajj is around the corner, and we will be touching about the farewell sermon of our beloved Nabi Kareem Muhammad Mustafa Janab Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I know many, many listeners, they want to know regarding this topic. How do we care for each other? How do we respect each other? If we are living together, how to fulfill each other's rights in Islam? Over to you, Ustad. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما وقال تعالى في مقام آخر قل إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا من المسلمين وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ولله على الناس حج البيت من استطاع إليه سبيلا ومن كفر فإن الله غني عن العالمين قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله قد فرض عليكم الحج فحجوا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجاك يوم ولدته أمه وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الحج يهدم ما كان قبله صدق الله مولانا العظيم.
Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah Ta'ala grant us all this opportunity to perform Hajj at least once in our lifetime, that we can visit the house of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. You see this beautiful eyes that Allah has given us. It is searching, it's looking, and is excited. Then when I will have this opportunity to glimpse at the Baytullah, I've seen photographs, I've seen images, but I want to see the real house of Allah. Number two, I want to be present at the Rozai Mubarak of Rahmatul Lil Alameen, Muhammadur Rasulullah Sallallahu. I have seen photographs, but my heartful desire is what? I want to be present in the beautiful city of Medina. Gee, that the breeze is so beautiful. The fragrance is so beautiful. The scene is so beautiful. The azan is so beautiful. The salah is so beautiful. The sunset is so beautiful. The sunrise is so beautiful. Nurun ala nur. Wama arsalnaka illa rahmatan lil alamin. That is why Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayh said that if Allah has given you sight, that is why the best nasihat Rasulullah gave to us. And Allah Pak has mentioned in the Quran, وَكُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. Say to the believing men to lower their gaze.
And that is the biggest test when you go for Hajj, Maulana. One is Allah is going to test your sabr. We are spoiled. Everything is found for us. At home, we have all the luxuries and all the facilities. Alhamdulillah. But when you leave for Hajj, you'll have to take tons of sabr with you, as people say. And if you want to enjoy your Hajj, besides all the other ibadat and rituals you are going to be doing, the greatest test is for you, is will you look after your gaze? Will you look after your eyes? So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is saying that when Allah has blessed you with sight, those who are blind, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shower you with mercy. Allah Pak has taken two of your most beautiful gifts, but in reward, Allah has great ajr and sawab for you in the dunya and in the akhirah. Don't disturb. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is saying that if Allah has given you vision and Allah has given you sight, to Baytullah ko dekho. You're going to go there and just pour your heart out to Bari Ta'ala. I've come to the house of my Rabb and my Malik, my Creator. And today I'm the guest of my Creator and my Malik. In Ramadan, on the day of Eid, we were the guest of Allah. That's why it's haram to fast. On the day of Eid, 5 days in a year, it's haram to fast because you are the guest of Allah. Now you are the guest of Allah on the ibadat of Hajj. So for hours and hours you can sit just looking at the Kaaba, reading Quran, making zikr of Allah. You are making takbir, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. You're making tasbih, subhanallah. You are making tahleel, la ilaha illallah. You are making tahmeed, Allahu Akbar. It's looking. You cannot believe that you are standing in front of Allah's house. You are in the mataf where Rasulullah made tawaf. Anbiya alayhi salatu wassalam made tawaf. The Khulafa'i Rashideen and Sahaba'i Kiram, Awliya Allah, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi. Great Awliya Allah were given this opportunity to walk around the Kaaba. Allah is giving you that opportunity. أُحِبُّ الصَّالِحِينَ وَلَفْتُ لِنَا I love the pious people, though I'm not pious. لَأَلَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقْنِي صَلَاحًا One day, Allah will give me tawfiq. And I'll also be a pious person. الْمَرْءُ مَعَ مَنْ أَحَبَّ Rasulullah said, whomso you keep company with, Allah will resurrect you with them on the day of Qiyamah. Samunana? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wa salam said, الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة. That Hajj where there is no guna, there is no sin, kabira guna, saghira guna, fighting, swearing, disobedient, you are pure. See, the reward for it is only Jannah. You return as if your mother gave birth to you, innocent, forgiven, and full of Allah's mercy. So I was saying earlier on, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi said that if Allah has given you sight, then look at the Baytullah. If Allah has given you sight, look at the Rozae Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sit there for a moment in Masjidun Nabawi with this feeling that the spot where I am sitting, most probably Rasulullah sat here. Most probably Rasulullah's footsteps were here. So how much of adab I'm prepared to put my eyelashes down.
Subhanallah.
This is my ishq and muhabbat for rahmatul lil alameen. But what are we doing in Masjidun Nabawi? We're playing with our phones. Spending time on our phones, talking, laughing. Every minute is valuable. So if Allah has given you sight, in Madinatul Munawwara, sit in this beautiful masjid of Rahmatul Lil Alameen. See, Allahumma salli ala Nabiyyir Rahma warhamna bi barakati. Just read this durood, whatever durood you know, whichever durood you know. Don't ask about numbers. How many times I must read it, Maulana Sahab? When Allah Pak gave you bounties, Allah Pak didn't ask you, my banda, how many bounties you want. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Just continue. Don't worry about counting. The mere fact that Allah is keeping your tongue moist with durood sharif and zikrullah. What more can you ask Allah for? So, Hazrat Imam Ghazali rahmatullah is saying, first, if you want, look at the Kaaba and admire Allah Ta'ala's house. Look at the Rozai Mubarak of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and recite durood sharif. As one shayr said, you know, everybody's tamanna is to die in the beautiful city of Medina. May Allah Ta'ala grant us such a mubarak mawt. Allahumma arzukna shahadatan fi sabilik. Waj'al mawtana fi baladi habibik. Waj'al mawti fi baladi habibik. Allah, let me pass away in your path. Allah, grant me the death of shahadat. Allah, use my body. Allah, use me for the defense of Islam. Allahumma rzuqni shahadatan fi sabil. It's a great moment. Like how we are so proud that we have an alim in our heart. We have a hafiza, we have a hafizul Quran, we have a qari. Subhanallah, that home is looked upon with respect and honor. See, even greater than that is in that house where there is a shaheed. Who went out in the path of Allah, he gave his life for la ilaha illallah. وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ. To die as a shaheed is a great ni'mat, great azad. Thirdly, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is saying that if Allah has given you sight, to salamullah ko dekho, just look at the Quran, open the Quran. See, there was one great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In old age, he couldn't read because of his eyesight and vision. But every morning he would open the Quran and take his finger and run it through each line. Hada kalamu Rabbi. Hada kalamu Rabbi. This is my Allah's kalam. And he passed away. Somebody asked him, how did Allah Ta'ala welcome you? Farmaya ke Allah Pak granted me Jannat. For what reason? That in old age, I lost my sight. I couldn't read the Quran. But I used to open Allah's kalam and reassure myself that Hada kalamu Rabbi, this is my Allah's kalam. This is my Allah's kalam. Because of this beautiful conviction, Allah Ta'ala granted me Jannatul Firdaus. So the question here is, Maulana, how many times do we open the Quran? Do we look into the Quran? Quran ko parna bhi ibadat hai. To read the Quran and recite the Quran is ibadat. Quran ko chuna bhi ibadat hai. To touch the Quran is ibadat. Quran ko bosa dena bhi ibadat hai. To kiss the Quran is also an act of ibadat. Aur Quran par amal karna bhi ibadat hai. And more so, to practice on the Quran. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi is saying that if you really want to admire, then open Allah's kalam, flip through the pages, read through it, look at the ayats of the Quran al-Kareem, and reconfirm with Rabbul Alameen, oh Allah, this is your kalam. Allah, I'm no match. Allah, I'm not in the position to read. But haza kalam Rabbi. Ya Allah, this is your kalam. You gave me tawfiq to open it. Allah, give me tawfiq to read it. And fourthly, farmaya, if Allah has given you sight, then ehlullah ko dekho, sit in the company of ulama. See, we have no idea the ajr and sawab that Allah Ta'ala has given that community where there is an alim who guides the community. It's an honor. It's a sign of rahmah from Allah. That in that small community, there's a Hafizul Quran, there's a Alim-e-Di. There are so many places in South Africa. They don't have an Alim. They don't have a Hafiz. They have to import the Alim or the Hafizul Quran. And sometimes in one town, you may have 50 Hafizes, 100 Hafizes. So Ahlullah ko dekho. One day, a person is passing the Qabristan. And some person was being buried. And this person by chance popped in there. He had no intention to visit the Qabristan. He saw a huge crowd there. Chala gaya, he went there. Two things happened. He just looked at the Alim-e-Din who was making dua. And he copied what people were doing. So he took three scoops of sand and he threw it in the grave. Minha khalaqnakum. From sand we created you. Wa minha wa fiha nu'idukum. And we shall return you to dust. Wa minha nukhrijukum taratan ukhra. And we'll resurrect you again from sand and dust. Then he was brought in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. Allah Pak will say to the angel, check this man's deeds. Isne kuch kiya hai ya nahi? Wa nadawul mawadin al-qist. Allah will put the way the scale of justice. Put it into action. Allah will say to the angel, look at this man's records. Did he do any good deeds? Ask him. Allah knows everything. And the farishtas will say, Allah, he has no deeds. Kuch bhi nahi kiya. So the gunahgar, disobedient, na shukar, just then on the scale of justice, some sand will fall and the scale will dip. Allah Pak will ask the angels, where did this sand come? And the angels will say, fi kullu ma'ruf in sadaqah. Every good deed that you do is an act of charity. See, we want the big, big sawabs. And where Allah has made sawabs so easy, the small, and mashaAllah, those little sunnahs of the Prophet, we have discarded it. So Allah Pak will ask the angels, where did the sand come from? So it will be mentioned, Bari Ta'ala, this man was passing the Qabristan. He had no intention to enter the Qabristan. See, but he walked in there. And he did what the brothers were doing. He put some sand in the grave. Allah Pak says, my banda, we love this action of yours.
Allahu Akbar.
We just love what you did. Jao, humne tujhe maaf kar diya. We have forgiven you. For you is Jannah. And just looking at an alim sometime, Allah Ta'ala will also grant you Jannah. Yes, which alim? Not just any alim. No, as Mufti Saab says, you know, scholars for dollars. No, not that type. On people like that, Allah's azab and Allah's curses. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ اللَّهِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. Don't sell the deen of Allah for a few pences. No. Give your life for Allah. مَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ كَانَ اللَّهُ لَهُ. If you do for the pleasure of Allah, Allah will look after you. Full, yaqeen, 100%, guarantee. Man kana lillahi, kana Allahu lahu. So just looking at an alim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you forgiveness and maghfirah. So when we're coming back to Hajj, time is short. What is Hajj? So let's see, what is the greatest lesson that we take from Hajj? I think this is what we need to understand. Hajj is an ashikana ibadat. Yeah, it's your health, your body and your wealth, your heart and soul is in love with Allah, is seeking Allah's love and forgiveness. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. Inna alhamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. Millions of brothers and sisters are chanting the name of Allah. You have heard the echoes in the haram, on the plains of Arafat, in Mina, in Muzdalifah. Subhanallah. Nowhere in the world can you see the power of la ilaha illallah. When people are making tawaf, and making and reciting the talbiyah, you can hear the vibration. You can feel the vibration in you. What a great honor it is, Mulana. So Allah ki ghar ki adab karo. Respect the house of Allah. So what is the greatest lesson that we are going to take? The principle of equality is very clear in Hajj. Because we are going to stand equal in the eyes of Allah. The greatest form of equality, nowhere in the world you can find this beautiful equality. Nowhere. But in Islam and Sharia. When Muslims from every gender, men and women, language, thousands of languages, color, different color, subhanallah, nationality, over 100 countries, people are coming to perform Hajj. What do they do? I said, Hajj and the principle of equality. Inna Allah la yanzuru ila suwarikum. Allah is not looking at your figure or your appearance. Wala imla amwalikum. Allah is not looking at how rich you are. Wala ki yanzuru ila niyatikum. Allah is looking at your niyat. In one divide, Allah is looking at your deeds and your amals. So, the greatest lesson of Hajj, Mawlana, is equality. They do the same work, subhanallah. They came to one place. The dress is one. The work is one. The place is one. The time is one. And this gives you the feeling of unity. One race, one Allah, and one deed.
Haq.
Everyone is dressed in one uniform. You see, Mawlana, in this world, I want to compete in you. If I'm going to a wedding or a function, I want to wear the best. I want to outclass my colleagues or my friends. But you are going to meet Badshahu ki Badshah, the kings of kings, is Rabbul Alameen. So when you come, there must be a dress code. There must be equality. Every Haji, whether he's a king or whether he's a sweeper, will wear the same uniform, two pieces of ihram. No one can come there and say, I'm going to wear a black ihram. Or a blue ihram. Though fuqaha said it's jais. But Wudu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let your ihram be white. Let your dressing be white. Your kafan is white, Mawlana. Allahu Akbar. It shows you, okay, on the day of Qiyamah, we all are going to stand equal in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِ And whoever will be given their results in their right hand, they'll be classified as successful.
Subhanallah.
And whoever will be given their results in the left hand, they have failed. Okay. So when you come to Allah's court, likewise in the masjid, Mawlana, you can't have favoritism in the masjid. We see it here every day. We have our brothers from Africa. You see some of our Indian brothers. They don't want to stand next to the brother from one of the African countries. Allahu Akbar. Who was Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu? I just said to you the other day, one day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the bazaar and he saw Hazrat Bilal there. And Rasulullah went from behind and grabbed him. That's how sometimes, you know, when you love your friend, you come from behind or you close the eyes and you now say, guess who's behind you? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grabbed Hazrat Bilal. Who was Hazrat Bilal? He was from Abyssinia. He was dark in complexion. But look at the love Rasulullah had for him. Rasulullah grabbed him from the back. And Hazrat Bilal is saying, is this Hazrat Umar? Is this Hazrat Abu Bakr? Is this Hazrat Usman? is this Hazrat Ali. He very well knew who it is behind me. But he wanted that extra time, that extra grip of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That barakah he will never get again. So Rasulullah asked him after that, Bilal, when I held you from the back, did you know that it was me? He said, Gee, Ya Rasulullah, I knew it was you, but I was enjoying those few moments when you had your hands around me. There was one Sahabi who never cut his head. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was born, Rasulullah put his hand on his head and made dua for him. When pious people come, Marana, to our homes, we always bring our sons and daughters to the Fazilat of Sheikh and say, Hazrat Dua TJ, please make dua for my son or my grandson or my granddaughter. So this Sahabi, his mother took him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he was born. And Uzu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made dua for him, put his hand on his head. And from that day onwards, he never cut his head. So they asked him why. He said, when the Mubarak hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam touched my hair, you think I'm going to cut that hair? I will never cut it.
Subhanallah.
This is what I'm saying. Love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I'm coming back to the main points of Hajj. Lots of things will be discussed over the, inshallah al-Aziz, in the next 1 month. Till alhamdulillah we come to the days of Hajj.
Ustaz, somebody,
I just want to highlight
one of the great lessons of Hajj. Just before you highlight, there's a listener from Margate. They want to know that, but how come people when they return from Hajj, after a couple of weeks, they go back together what they were? So why go for Hajj? Anonymous from Margate. Ustaz.
That is why I said, Maulana, when you leave for Hajj, when you make intention for Hajj, you must correct your niyat. One, you must make sure that you go with halal funds. Beautiful saying here, Maulana. When you complete your Hajj, when you leave Makkah, bring Islam home. Not just dates and zamzam water. Your whole life and outlook to life should change. You should becoming more Allah conscious, more devoted to Allah, more muttabi' sunnah. So when you leave Makkah to return home, bring Islam home, bring deen home, not just dates and zamzam water. It's a very serious thing that when we leave for Hajj, Allahu Akbar. Look at this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jab haji paak aur halal kharch lekar nikalta hai. When a haji leaves with halal money, pure money. And when he puts his foot onto the reins of the horse or the camel and says, Labbaik. Allahumma labbaik. Or when you sit in the car, leaving for the airport, and you say labbaik, Allahumma labbaik. Asman se awaz aati hai. A voice calls out, labbaik wa sa'adaik. Tera tosha halal hai, tera kharch halal hai. Aur tera hajj makbool hai. اور گناہوں سے پاک ہو گیا کچھ گناہ نہیں ہے. See how important it is. You ask that question, or the brother that asked that question from Margate.
Jesus.
Then people come back from Hajj, they are worse than before they went.
Sure.
First thing, the niyat is incorrect. Number two, the money that they took and went has doubt in it. Rana, it's senseless me going for Hajj. I'm owing the whole world and the whole town thousands of rands. Pay your karza out first. And if you get money, later on you can make a wasiyat that somebody, if I'm alive, alhamdulillah, I will go myself, and if I'm not alive, you will make wasiyat that somebody can make hajj badal for me. Well, Hazrat Mufti Sahab will explain those masayas to you. But the point what the brother is asking, the person comes back, he's not changed, he's gone worse. The reason for it, Allahu Akbar, that when you go with your halal money, see, the farishtas say, Labbaik wa sa'adayk. Banda, you said, oh Allah, I present Labbaik. Labbaik, Allahumma Labbaik, oh Allah, I'm here, I'm present. And the farishta say, Labbaik wa sa'adayk, welcome, aiye.
Allahu Akbar.
Whatever you have brought is halal. Whatever you have spent is halal. Your haji accepted. Your gunas are forgiven. Or jab haji haram maal lekar nikalta hai. See the wa'id. See the punishment. Even a haji takes haram wealth and goes. And when he puts his foot onto the animal to move on or sits in the car, and he says, Labbaik. Allahumma Labbaik. So Asman say, ye nida aati. La Labbaik wa la sa'adayk. No Labbaik for you, and there is no sa'adat. Tera tosha haram hai. Whatever you have brought and came with is haram. Tera kharj haram hai. Your spending is haram. Tera hajj sarasar gunahi gunahi. Your whole journey of hajj is just full of sins. Aur tera hajj makbool nahi. Tabrani ki riwayat. So, Mulana, for us to go for hajj, it's a great thing. But if you don't prepare yourself mentally, spiritually, financially,
yes,
and you really want to come back spiritually enlightened, your gunas forgiven, then we have to do a reality check. Okay, let's see what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. That don't think spending for hajj will decrease your wealth. Many of us are saying, but you know what? Now I think, well, I don't know what's the hajj rate now. I think 120,000. See, I don't know. Allah knows best whether these people who handle these hajj facilities, what answer they're going to give to Allah Rabbul Alameen. See, there are so many people, Mawlana, they saved that 40,000, 50,000. It took them 30 years, 40 years, Mawlana. They cried to Allah every 5 cent or every 5 rand that they could save. Alhamdulillah, they had one tin. They saved it in there. See, and now imagine you are told that, no, your hajj is not 50,000. Now you must have 100,000. You see, Allah Ta'ala will make some zariya. So, don't think that spending for hajj will decrease your wealth. It won't. For not only does it wipe out your guna, al-hajju yahdimu ma kana qablahu. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wipes out your sins. Whatever gunas you made, saghira gunas, Allah forgives. Kabira gunas, you have to make tawbah. Look at the sawab of hajj. That don't think that spending for hajj will decrease your wealth.
Indeed.
Instead, Allah will wash away your gunas and sins, and Allah Ta'ala will remove poverty. And third nasihat, Mullah. Don't save hajj for old age. You don't know the date of your appointment with the angel of death. Many of us say, no, abhi jawan hai. We young, we have to enjoy life. Khoob khana, peena hai, maja karna hai. We'll make hajj in old age. If you have the means to make hajj, the road is clear. You are waqif of all the masla masail. You have made provision for your wife and children, that in the period that you're going to be absent and going to perform hajj, you have made arrangements for their food, shelter and protection, and still you don't go for hajj. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it doesn't bother me whether you die as a Muslim or you don't die. Manana, there are thousands of people in our society. They have millions of rands in their banks. See? But they don't get tawfiq to go for hajj. It's a good question to ask. And here you find a battler, Mulana. He's working as a shop assistant, earning like 5,000 rand, 7,000 rand. maybe 10,000 rand maximum. But how Allah makes it a reality. Let's look at our listeners. They will type in now their experience. Ordinary workers, Mulana. But their yaqeen and shauk to perform Hajj was so intense. How Allah Pak multiplied that money, or how Allah Pak put barakah in that money, that when they go and perform Hajj and come back, they still have lots of change left. Subhanallah. Nurun ala nur. Respected brothers, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam further said, when you meet anyone who has performed Hajj, greet him. Shake hands with him. And beseech him to pray for forgiveness for your sins before he reaches home. How many of us do this? Golden opportunity. But you see, Hajj has just become like how we go for holidays. Now, the sad part of it, Maulana, the ahmiyat of Hajj, the ikhlas of Hajj, the feeling of Hajj, the ruhaniyat of Hajj is gone. Most of the people you hear that instead of me going to America, I'm going to Australia, I'm going to France and Paris, let me go to Umrah. Can you imagine to what degree have we lowered Umrah and Hajj to be? Because you go there, mashallah, pure din sote raho, sleep the whole day, some of us miss our namazes. How can you miss namaz in the Haramain Sharifain? I cannot believe this, Mulana. People are sleeping. Late at night, they're busy with their phones. As one great alim said, you know, somebody came and asked Hadrat, give me some nasihat. So he said, you see, when you are in those Mubarak places, and if you are going to be seated at the Rozai Mubarak of Rasulullah in Masjid al-Nabawi, or at the Baytullah, and you're thinking about home and your dunya and your business, then it would have been better that you stayed back and with ikhlas and love, you would have been thinking of Makkah and Medina. It's a sad state of affairs, Mulana. I don't say all of us do this, but they're still worried about what the till reading is. Did the orders come? Did the EFT go through? I'm sitting whole night there in the Haram Sharif and I'm watching my phone as my transactions are coming in. Are you playing games with Allah Rabbul Alameen? Nana, that is why it is said that a lot of people when they return from Hajj, you see, when that Hajri Aswad, when it came from Jannah, it was white like milk.
Indeed.
Now it's, we call it the black stone. It absorbed all the gunas and sins of all those who are making tawaf. See? So sometimes that stone, all the gunas and all the sins of people, it now reflects on the person. See? Allah Ta'ala protect us. You are the guest of Allah. Respect the place. Respect Allah. Respect Masjid al-Nabawi. Respect Rasul. Don't even speak loudly in Masjid al-Nabawi.
Ustaz, I see there's a couple. The father is explaining, actually, because you said earlier on to give their experience. And it's a lengthy message, but of course, I'm just going to go into just the gist of it. Their trip was for 6 weeks, Ustaz. But instead of 6 weeks, the father says that his son and the daughter-in-law, his daughter-in-law, they were fighting so bad in Madinatul Munawwara, they had to cancel the trip from 6 weeks to 3 weeks, Ustad. So I just wanted to bring that to your notice. It's anonymous father. He says that my son and his wife, they were fighting so much, they were actually swearing each other with the ugly words like F and B and etc. But of course, from 6 weeks, we had to bring it to 3 weeks. So he's asking Ustad, but why? Why do you go there and you fight, Ustad?
Okay, Marana, good question.
Uh-huh.
And this is, again, we're going back to this Hajj committee and this agent.
Uh-huh.
Huzur sallallahu alayhi salatu wasalam, the whole Hajj trip was 10 days. The 5 days of Hajj and the traveling, coming and going, plus minus 10, 12 days. And in reality, the days of Hajj is 5. But you see, the agents want to make money, the hotels want to make money, the restaurants want to make money, and then you and I get frustrated because we're missing home. The jazbah and zawk that we had for tawaf, namaz, tahajjud, and all that goes in the beautiful cities of Makkah al-Mukarramah slowly, slowly dies off. Because I went 6 weeks before Hajj. I'm tired now. I visited every, I can ask you, Mulana, like how we share numbers, people can share cards with you. You wonder, go to that shop, go to that mall, go to Azizia, go here, go to Tayyiba, I don't know what names, I don't know. Mulana, the right thing to go, that jazba when you left from South Africa, you need to upkeep that enthusiasm. That is why, go with that last flight. Go there 3-4 days before Hajj starts.
Yes.
Mulana, you are ready. You got the jazba, you got the zawk, you got the shawk, alhamdulillah. You are highly spirited. Mulana, sleep means nothing for you. Food means nothing to you. It's my Allah, I'm at His house, I'm at His guest. I'm going to do anything. This is an ashikana ibadah. I just love my Allah. I'm dressed simple. I'm just chanting His name. I don't know where I am, but Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Gee, we have spoiled the atmosphere of Hajj. We, all those people who take people for Hajj, 3 weeks package, 5 weeks packing, 6 weeks. In the olden days, Marana, people used to go for 4 months. Take the ship and go.
Ya Allah.
From Makkah, then they're going to Damascus. Then they're going to Beirut. Then they're going to Zanzibar. Then they, I don't know where and where, bala. Allah knows best. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when people used to finish with Hajj, he would stand there with a whip and say, chalo, ghar jao. Go home. Return home. Because remember, in the Haram Sharif, Mawlana, you make one good deed, Allah gives you 100,000 nekis.
Haq.
How many?
100,000.
So likewise, if you make one guna, it is 100,000 gunas.
Ya Allah.
In Masjid al-Nabawi, 50,000 nekis Allah is giving you for one neki. And one guna in Masjid al-Nabawi is 50,000 gunas. Can we control our nafs, Mawlana?
Sure.
So, this is the problem. We go there, we get tired, we're frustrated, we're missing home, we're missing our children, we're missing our businesses, we're missing our luxury. So what ibadah, what zawk ibadah we are going to have? I'm not saying everybody, Mawlana, please. I'm replying to the question where husband and wife are fighting, imagine of all places, I know of one place, Mawlana. Husband and wife fighting in front of the mataf, cursing each other.
Inna lillahi wa inna astaghfirullah.
In front of Allah's house. What type of ibadah is this? No, Mawlana. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let's make this dua to Allah. Time is up. The best days in the worldly life are the first 10 days of Dhul Hajj. You have sinned all year. You have failed in the month of Ramadan. But the last 10 days are coming. Don't miss out on this chance. Allah is still giving you a chance to reform. You may have sinned all year. You may have missed out in Ramadan. Allah gave us those 30 days, 29 days. But still, we didn't take heed. We didn't make tawbah. We didn't change our life, some of us. But Allah is still giving you and me a chance. But the best 10 days are coming. Don't miss out on this chance of Hajj. So dua to Allah. Oh Allah, help us to remember you. Thank and worship you in the best of ways. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. That's the dua that we should make. Allahumma inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadati. So, Mawlana, may Allah Ta'ala, all those who are going for Hajj, please, for Allah's sake, let's correct our niyat. Go there. Crying to Allah, thanking Allah for giving you the opportunity to set foot on the land of the Anbiya's, the place of the Prophet. And just for 1 minute, Mulana Abdul Razak Sahab told me, you know, when he had taken some people, they knew him and he was a very famous person. So they asked him to give a lecture in Mina. Alhamdulillah, I also had the opportunity, Mulana, to address quite a few of the people there and say a few words of Nasiha in that beautiful place. So Mulana Abdul Razak Sahab was one day relating to us that there were lots of Hujjaj from South Africa. And he said to me, there was somebody from Peter Thief. I still remember the name of the town. And Mulana was speaking of what took place in Mina. And he said to them who were seated there, just think for one moment the place where you're sitting. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat here. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked here. He says, Mulana, one of those hadith, I don't know what happened to him. He became so emotional.
Allahu Akbar.
Then Mulana said, just think for one moment that where you're sitting or you're sleeping, Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Mubarak Qadam was right there. That's where you're sitting. That person became highly emotional. Hal aa gaya usko, as we say. So when you have this ishq and muhabbat, you become uncontrollable. Because the love for Allah and His Rasul is so great. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And inshallah, we make mistakes, Mulana, koi baat nahi. Guna karte hain. Ji, tawbah karte hain. Rote hain. Phir guna karte hain. Phir maafi maangte hain. Allah Paak says, my banda, you can get tired making gunas and sins. I will never get tired making you maaf.
Allahu Akbar.
Ji. And may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Mulana, we are one Allah. We have one Nabi, one book, one Qibla, and one Ummah. Then why is it so difficult that we as the Muslim Ummah cannot be one and united? We have one Allah, one Nabi, one Quran, one Qibla, one Ummah. Then why is it that we as the Ummah cannot be one and united? Allahumma alif bayna qulubina.
Ameen.
Wa aslih zaata baynina.
Ameen.
Allahumma aafina wa'afu anna. Allahumma kun li waj'alni lak. Wa Allahumma kun lana waj'alna lak. Beautiful dua. Dua for the coming year. Allahumma aafina, Bari Ta'ala, forgive us, protect us. Wa'afu anna. Allah grant us afiyat. Allahumma aafina. Allah grant us afiyat. Wa'afu anna. Allah forgive us. Allahumma kun lana. Allah be for us and make us for you. That, inshaAllah. And this is what Allama Iqbal said. Haram park be Allah bhi, Quran bhi ek. Haram paak bhi, Allah bhi, Quran bhi ek. Kuch bari baat thi, hote jo musalman bhi ek. It's so difficult that we as the Muslim Ummah should have been one and should, must be one. And Allama Iqbal again said, Ya Rab, dile Muslim ko zinda tamanna de. Allah, wake up this heart of ours. Allah, put some life into this heart of ours. Your qalb ko garma de. Mulana, for the barakat of La ilaha illallah, the power of zikrullah, this heart will pump. Your qalb ko garma de, your ruh ko tarpa de. Your soul must become restless. The amount of zikr you must make, ke log aapko kahenge, ye pagal ho gaya. This man is insane. Allama Iqbal, beautiful dua. Ya Rab, dile Muslim ko zinda tamanna. Allah, wake up this heart of the Muslim Ummah. Allah, put love there. Allah Ta'ala put izzat.
Ameen.
Your qalb ko garma de. That, alhamdulillah, your heart must be fortified with la ilaha illallah. And it must make your soul restless. Wa akhiru dawana alhamdulillah.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Fi amanillah, inshallah. We will, inshallah, continue with the farewell in the sermon of our beloved Nabi Akari Muhammad Mustafa, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next week, Thursday, inshallah, we'll start, inshallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, Marana, we'll do that.
Ameen, inshallah. Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was our beloved Honorable Fadilatul Ustaz. Well said there, and I hope many listeners heard the advice of our beloved Ustaz Hadrat Maulana Salim Kareem. Damat Barakat. I will be sending the podcast out, inshallah. You can just send the word podcast and I will be sending it out to you, inshallah. For myself, brother, calling all of you out there, have a beautiful evening. See you guys tomorrow morning, same time, same place on our program, As-Safinatu Ilal Jannah. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sajami'a. Salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.